Picture this, a concrete culvert on a scorching hot day in June 2010.
Sounds pretty intense already.
Yeah, and this isn't just any ordinary culvert. This one marks the U.S.-Mexico border separating El Paso, Texas, and Ciudad Juarez, Mexico.
Ah, okay, a border story.
Exactly. And now imagine a group of kids hanging out there playing, not your typical playground, but that's where they are.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
One of those kids, 15-year-old Sergio Hernandez, he's a Mexican citizen. While they're playing U.S. Border Patrol agent, Jesus Mesa fires his weapon from U.S. soil, and tragically, Sergio is killed.
Oh, wow. That immediately raises so many questions.
It does. And that's how this seemingly straightforward tragedy turns into this massive legal battle that went all the way to the Supreme Court. The case is Hernandez v. Mesa, and it all boils down to one huge question. Does the U.S. Constitution protect someone standing on Mexican soil from the actions of a U.S. Border Patrol agent?
It really makes you think about the boundaries of law enforcement jurisdiction, even the Constitution itself.
Yeah,
exactly. Like, where do these lines get blurry, especially in a world where, you know, a bullet can cross an international border in just a split second?
Yeah, that's a powerful point.
So after the shooting, Agent Mesa wasn't charged in the U.S., and Mexico's request to extradite him was denied. So Sergio's parents, they filed a lawsuit in U.S. federal court invoking the Bivens Doctrine. And that allows individuals to sue federal agents for constitutional violations. But it's not always a clear-cut path to victory.
Right. It's a complex area of law, for sure.
So for our listeners who might not be familiar with all the legal ins and outs, can you help us understand why was this Bivens Doctrine so important in the Hernandez case, and what made it such a tricky path for the family to navigate?
Yeah, so Bivens claims, while they're powerful, they often run into these limitations.
Okay, so there are some roadblocks.
Right. The courts, they apply this two-step test first. They look at whether the case is presenting like a new context, something beyond those established Bivens situations.
I see. So that's the first hurdle.
And then if they decide it is a new context, they move on to considering these special factors that might weigh against using Bivens in that case.
So it becomes a balancing act almost.
You got a balance between individual rights and those bigger governmental interests.
Okay, so let's walk through that.
Yeah.
In Hernandez v. Mesa, what made this case a new context? And what were some of those special factors the court had to wrestle with?
Well, the Supreme Court, they decided that this specific cross-border shooting was a new context, and that's because it extended beyond U.S. soil and involved a foreign citizen, which brought in those concerns about foreign relations and national security.
So it wasn't just what happened, but where it happened and who was involved.
You nailed it. It all played a role. The court was really concerned about potentially harming foreign relations if U.S. courts started ruling on actions that occur in other countries.
Yeah, it's like stepping on another country's toes, right?
Exactly. It's all about respecting that nation's sovereignty and avoiding diplomatic nightmares.
It makes sense. And then there's that whole national security angle.
Oh, absolutely. The court argued that border security is paramount, that allowing lawsuits like this could really hinder the government's ability to do its job protecting the borders. So they saw a potential conflict between these individual claims and those broader national security interests.
So the argument is that national security sometimes has to take precedence in situations like this.
It is, and it's what makes this case so controversial and thought-provoking, because it highlights that tension between the two.
Really puts things into perspective. And then what about that third special factor, the lack of action from Congress?
Yeah, that's a crucial one. So Congress hadn't created a specific legal remedy for injuries that happen across international borders. So the court basically said, look, if Congress wants to make a legal path for these cases, that's their call. We're not going to do it for them.
They were passing the buck to Congress.
Right. They were deferring to the legislative branch. And Justice Alito actually wrote something pretty powerful in the majority opinion.
Oh, what did he say?
He wrote, "The political branches are better suited to balance the risks of liability against national security needs."
That's a pretty strong statement.
It is, and it really sums up the court's perspective. But of course, not everyone agreed. This wasn't a unanimous decision.
Right. There were dissenting voices. What were some of those other perspectives?
Yeah, absolutely. Justice Ginsburg, for example, she argued that this case wasn't actually that different from the original Bivens cases.
Okay, interesting. How so?
Well, she pointed out that Agent Mesa fired his weapon from U.S. soil. That bullet just happened across the border.
I see. So for her, the focus wasn't on where it landed, but where it originated.
Exactly. She believed the victim's location shouldn't be the deciding factor, but rather where the harmful action began. She saw this as a direct application of Bivens.
So she had a different interpretation of the situation.
She did. And she even wrote that The bullet's path across the border shouldn't deny a remedy when the officer's conduct originated here.
That's a powerful argument for sure. And it sounds like there's even more to unpack here.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Justices Thomas and Gorsuch have a totally different take on all of this?
They did. They took a much bolder stance in their concurring opinion. They actually called for overturning Bivens entirely.
Wow. Completely getting rid of it.
Yeah. They saw it as judicial overreach. They believed it should have been a decision for Congress, not the courts.
So you have a divided court, some wanting to limit Bivens and others wanting to scrap it completely. What a legal showdown.
It's a fascinating debate with huge implications. And what's even more interesting is what the court chose not to address at all.
Oh, there were some things they sidestepped. Okay, this is where it gets even more intriguing. What were those crucial points they avoided?
Well, they didn't rule on whether the Fourth Amendment, you know, the one that protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, actually applies outside the United States.
Wow. So they left that door wide open.
They did. And the second big one they dodged was whether Agent Mesa was entitled to qualified immunity because they dismissed the case based on Bivens and never even considered this really crucial aspect.
Okay, so for those listening who might not be legal experts, can you quickly break down what qualified immunity means in a case like this?
So qualified immunity, it basically protects government officials from lawsuits unless they violate what are considered clearly established statutory or constitutional rights. It's complicated, but often shields law enforcement, even in controversial situations.
So by not tackling this qualified immunity question, the court left another loose end that could have big implications down the road.
Absolutely. Lots of room for interpretation and future challenges. And of course, the most heartbreaking consequence of this whole legal battle is that Sergio Hernandez's family, they were left with no legal recourse in U.S. courts.
That's a tough reality to face. It really highlights the challenges of seeking justice in these cross-border cases.
It does, and it brings up these massive questions. What are the limits of accountability when national security and foreign relations are at play? Does the U.S. Constitution even have any power beyond its borders? Yeah. These are the issues we're left grappling with.
This case, it really feels like it's opened a Pandora's box of legal questions. Mm-hmm. So for our listeners out there who are lawyers and law students, what are some of the biggest takeaways from Hernandez v. Mesa? What does this mean for future cases like this one?
Well, one thing that's clear is that this case really reinforces the trend we've been seeing of the Supreme Court narrowing the scope of the Bivens doctrine.
So they're becoming more reluctant to use it.
Exactly. They're hesitant to create new ways for people to sue federal officials, especially when you bring in those issues of national security or foreign policy.
So it's making it harder to hold those federal agents accountable, even when there might be potential constitutional violations.
That's one way to look at it. And it raises these serious concerns about what protections foreign nationals really have when they're affected by the actions of U.S. officials abroad.
It's like the further you get from U.S. soil, the more uncertain those legal protections become.
Right. It's like uncharted territory, legally speaking. What happens when a U.S. agent's actions have consequences outside of the U.S.? Does the Constitution protect people in those situations?
This case really forces us to think about those gray areas.
And it's a million-dollar question, isn't it? And it's one that the court very deliberately avoided answering, which leaves a lot of uncertainty hanging over future cases.
And this idea of extraterritoriality keeps popping up. What exactly does that mean in the context of Hernandez v. Mesa? Could you break that down a bit for our listeners?
Sure. So extraterritoriality is all about the reach of a country's laws beyond its own borders. So in this case, the question is, does the U.S. Constitution have any legal power in Mexico? And the court, they sidestepped that completely, leaving it totally unresolved.
But wouldn't that create more confusion and ambiguity down the line for similar cases?
It's a valid point, and it's part of what makes this case so impactful. It leaves a lot open to interpretation. And remember qualified immunity that we talked about earlier?
Right. And the court didn't touch that either.
Nope. They didn't weigh in on its application in this cross-border context. So they basically punted on a really crucial question.
It feels like this case created more questions than it answered.
That's a great way to put it. Hernandez v. Mesa is a landmark case, not just for the outcome, but for all these unresolved issues it brings up. Law students and legal scholars, they'll be debating this one for years to come.
So where should our listeners go from here? What resources would you recommend for really digging into this case and understanding its implications?
Always start with the source itself. Read the full text of the Supreme Court's decision in Hernandez v. Mesa. It's complex, but it's crucial to really understand the justice's reasoning firsthand.
Go straight to the source. Solid advice.
And there are some fantastic law review articles out there offering different perspectives on the case.
Any specific journals or publications you'd suggest?
The Harvard Law Review, Yale Law Journal, and Columbia Law Review, they've all published some really thought-provoking pieces on the case. They go deeper into the legal nuances and the broader context.
We've explored the legal details, the arguments, the unknowns, but let's not forget about the human element at the heart of this case.
You're so right. It's easy to get lost in the legalese, but a young life was lost and a family was left searching for justice. We can't lose sight of that.
The court's decision, it focused on these abstract legal principles, but it had very real, very painful consequences for the Hernandez family. They were left with no legal options in U.S. courts for their son's death. The harsh reality.
It really exposes the limitations of our legal system, especially when dealing with these cross-border incidents with international implications. Where do they turn now? What does justice even look like in a scenario like this?
It emphasizes the need for more dialogue, more collaboration between countries to find ways to handle these complex situations.
I couldn't agree more. Legal solutions on their own, they might not be enough. We need international cooperation and understanding to figure out ways to respect both national sovereignty and individual rights.
Hernandez v. Mesa. It's a stark reminder that the world is becoming more and more interconnected. But our legal systems and frameworks, they haven't quite caught up. We need some creative, innovative approaches to resolving conflicts and achieving justice in this globalized world.
It makes us confront these uncomfortable truths about the limits of power, the reach of the law, and the true meaning of justice in a world where borders are becoming increasingly porous.
And these questions, they can't just fade into the background. We had to keep these conversations going.
Absolutely. We need to push for clarity, for accountability, and for a legal system that protects the rights of all people, regardless of where they happen to be standing when tragedy strikes.
This has been a truly thought-provoking deep dive into Hernandez v. Mesa.
I agree. It's a case that deserves our continued attention and analysis.
Before we move on, is there anything else our listeners should keep in mind as they're thinking about the implications of this case?
One thing that really jumped out at me was how much emphasis the court put on congressional action. They said over and over that it's up to Congress to create a legal framework for addressing cross-border incidents like this one.
It's like they were passing the buck saying, Congress, this is your job. Step up and provide some clarity.
Exactly. So it's worth paying attention to any legislative developments in this area. Congress could potentially pass laws that address the issues raised by Hernandez v. Mesa.
That's a really important point. The legal and legislative branches are connected, and it's crucial to stay informed about what's happening on both fronts.
And that's where citizen engagement comes in. If you're passionate about these issues, contact your elected officials and make your voice heard.
Love that call to action. We all have a part to play in shaping the future of law and justice.
This case has also sparked a ton of debate in the legal community about the future of the Bivens Doctrine.
We touched on that earlier. Some legal scholars want to see Bivens overturned entirely, while others are arguing for expanding it. It's a fascinating debate, with potentially huge consequences for holding federal officials accountable.
It's a debate worth following closely because it could really change the landscape of constitutional law.
I have a feeling we'll be circling back to this topic in future episodes as the legal landscape continues to shift.
It's definitely an area of law that needs further exploration.
Speaking of interconnectedness and these complex legal battles, yeah. You mentioned another fascinating case for our next episode, one that goes even deeper into the complexities of lawsuits against federal officials.
Yes. Next week, we're diving into Ziegler v. Abbasi, a case that placed even more restrictions on the Bivens Doctrine, making it even harder to hold federal officials accountable for violating constitutional rights.
That sounds like a must listen. I'm marking it on my calendar right now.
It's essential listening for anyone interested in how constitutional law is evolving and that delicate balance between national security and individual rights.
Well, I can't wait to delve into that one with you. So as we wrap up our deep dive into Hernandez v. Mesa, it's clear this case has left a mark on the legal world, bringing up these big questions about U.S. law accountability and how we balance national security and human rights in this globalized world.
It really does make you think about some fundamental issues.
We've covered a lot, the legal complexities, the different arguments, and of course, those lingering questions that the court's decision left unanswered.
And we've talked about the need for more discussion, both in the legal world and between countries, to tackle these challenges that are always changing.
But before we sign off, I want to leave our listeners with something to really ponder, something that gets to the heart of what's at stake.
I'm all ears. What's the thought-provoking question for today?
Well, Hernandez v. Mesa, it basically shifted the responsibility away from the courts and onto Congress. urging lawmakers to create a clear legal framework for these cross-border incidents.
Yeah, they basically said, Congress, this is your problem. Now step up and give us some clarity.
Exactly. But here's the question that keeps coming back to me. Does national security justify sacrificing legal remedies for people who are harmed in these situations? Where do we draw that line?
That's a question that goes beyond the legal stuff.
Yeah.
It's about our values as a country. How do we balance protecting our borders with protecting the fundamental rights of everyone, no matter their citizenship? It's a tough one with no easy answers.
It really is, and it's something we all need to think about as we imagine the kind of world we want to live in, a world that's more and more interconnected, but still struggling with these really complex jurisdictional questions.
Hernandez v. Mesa, it wasn't just about one tragic event at the border. It was about something much bigger. It forced us to look at these uncomfortable truths about power and the law and what justice really means in a world where borders are becoming more and more fluid.
It's a conversation we need to continue. We can't just ignore these questions.
Absolutely. We have to push for clarity and accountability in a legal system that upholds everyone's rights no matter where they are when something terrible happens.
Well said, Hernandez v. Mesa. It reminds us that the law isn't set in stone. It's constantly changing, adapting to new challenges and interpretations.
And it reminds us that we all have a role to play in these conversations, to think critically about these issues and work towards a more just world.
Listeners, thank you for joining us for this deep dive into Hernandez v. Mesa. We hope you'll keep exploring these complex issues with us in future episodes. Until then, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep striving for a more just world.